Watch real TV and custom videos in Spanish, French, Italian, or German and immerse yourself into the culture while learning the language. Yablo's patented scribe activity will build your listening skills and your ability to hear and understand native speakers. Yablo.com. That's Yabla.com. I wanted to share a review too as well. So this came from an actual reviewer of Yablo. I studied Spanish in high school and college, but never got fluent enough to hold a conversation with a native speaker. Now, 20 years later, I'm ready to work on this. Yablo is the only language learning program that let me jump right in at my level. All the other programs had boring vocab practice at a basic level, even when I paid for premium and claimed to be advanced. Anyway, my favorite feature in Yablo is Scribe. It really works on training my ear. Even though the program does not include a way for me to practice speaking directly, I find myself walking around speaking Spanish to myself, so I know that I am improving. Yablo.com. You can also check out reviews for Yablo at trustpilot.com/review/yablo.com. That'll give you a lot of great reviews from people that currently subscribe to the service. So, it is Wednesday, September the 4th. I can't believe it. It's Labor Day week, and Wednesday really snuck up here, didn't it? There's a couple of interviews that are sitting in the hopper for airing. There's going to be one next week, and then one that's coming up in 3 weeks, but I thought this would be a good opportunity to sort of take a pause and tell everybody how much I appreciate everybody tuning in last month. So last week was the Dr. Howard Schumacher episode, which... for all intents and purposes. So the podcast has never done more than, I think it was like 9,600 listens in a single month. So I was sort of counting down to 10,000. Got to get to 10,000. It ended up doing well over 12,000 last month. And a lot of that obviously had to do with Dr. Howard Schumacher. A lot of great feedback on that. A lot of shares, a lot of tags. I'm so glad that everybody got so much value out of it. There were so many little nuggets that were so valuable that Dr. Schumacher said, and people kept reiterating a lot of the same things. And so obviously go back and listen to the podcast. If you have already listened to it, going back, it seems like the favorite parts for people resided between minutes 42 and 46. So I'd say certainly go back and re-listen to that, listen to it again. I've gone back and listened a couple of times just because there were just so many knowledge bombs being dropped by Dr. Schumacher in that. It was awesome. And so that leads me into the next thing. I want to make sure that I share and thank the patrons of the podcast. So Patreon is a place for creators. You can go in and make a contribution to the show. It's kind of like GoFundMe, except you're actually getting something out of this, meaning that you're getting this podcast. You're helping keeping it on the air for free. You're helping keep access to it for free. And so let me just give a shout out to the people that are supporting the show on Patreon. So Christina, Holly, Ross, Caroline, Julie, Casey, Alyssa, Brian, Sarah, Adrian, Stan, Kristen, Sarah, Helen, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, everybody that has supported the podcast. And actually, I went back and I looked. Patreon was really hot there for a little while, and there were new subscribers coming in all the time. It looks like the last new one was all the way back at the end of June. Shout out to Christina, who is actually very active on the Patreon page. She made a request for a 50 push-ups video from me. I did that. It's free for subscribers to Patreon, and you can go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast to find that. So it's an opportunity to get a little bit more content. I got a request to make a video on the Stark reactor concept, how to basically feel emotions within your body. So I'm going to do a video on that here coming up, so you've got something to look forward to there. And I thought that maybe, so I ran this poll in the Facebook group. The Deleters of Pain is what I call it. And I would urge you to go join that. A lot of times the newest stuff that I'm thinking about or that I'm going to be interviewing or doing in the podcast, I put there. But I put a poll up yesterday. What do you prefer? Or if you had to pick one, which style of episode do you prefer? Interview with an expert, an interview with someone who has recovered and tells their story, or a solo episode. Solo episode only got 4 votes. So that's what I'm doing today. But coming in first was interview with an expert. People seem to like those the most. Interview with someone who has recovered and tells their story came in second. So over the next 3 weeks, you're going to hear from 2 people that recovered from chronic pain in some kind of way. So that's going to be really cool. And then I actually had a psychotherapist email me this morning and say that she's a TMS therapist and she wants to come on, share her own story of recovery from chronic pain. And she wants to talk about how she helps people recover from chronic pain. So I thought that that would be kind of cool. So her and I look like we're about to get scheduled. Dr. David Clark and I are nailing down a recording. So I think it's going to be really exciting September and October for the listeners of the podcast. So I put up something on Facebook about an hour ago, so I didn't give people much time. But it said, I'm recording likely in the next 30 minutes or so, solo. Anybody have anything they want me to give my 2 cents and or scorching hot take on? So the first person said, when you're having a pain flare and you're supposed to ignore it, how the heck do you do it? I get headaches and they make me just nauseous. I'd like to hear concrete examples about ignoring the pain and maybe even replacing the negative fear thoughts in my brain that stroke that. She says stoke the pain. Could be stroke the pain. That's what I think she's trying to say. But so here's the thing. I think that there is a really subtle difference between ignoring something and having indifference to something. So what we want to do with pain is have an indifference, not necessarily ignoring. And I would say that if you were going to lean one way or the other, I sort of put indifference in kind of like the center of the teeter-totter, and ignoring is one side, giving it all the attention in the world is the next. It's almost like giving it a little bit of attention, but different kind of attention. We're so used when we're in pain, particularly chronic pain, to always give so much attention and light and life to the pain that we feel. So whether it's in our, maybe it's our anxiety, but it could also be sciatic pain or our foot hurts or low back or upper back or mid back or neck or chest or whatever kind of a symptom it is that you have, we tend to give this a lot of pain. We think about it constantly. Even when we don't have pain, it's almost like we're checking in with ourselves. It's like, oh, maybe my ankle will hurt. Oh, my ankle hurts. Right. And then you almost start to develop something. I actually remember doing an interview with Steve Ozanich on this podcast a couple of years ago. And God, almost 2 full years ago, we recorded that. But he was talking about basically the power of suggestion. And somebody says something about your elbow and suddenly you feel your elbow hurting. You feel a discomfort within your elbow. And so I think the better thing to do, here's the thing. I'm sitting right now at a park. If you're familiar with the Pacific Northwest and Edmonds, Washington specifically, I'm sitting at Yost Park as I record this. Beautiful park, lots of scenery that I'm out looking at, nice forest. There's a lot of trails within here that you can walk. Wish I could take my motorcycle, but that you can walk. And let's say that a grizzly bear or a cougar or something comes out of the bushes and sees me all of a sudden, and I book it. I run the other way. I flee. It's going to come after me, right? So we know that we don't want to try and avoid and run away. Ignore is another thing, because maybe by if there's a bear in front of me and I walk past it and I just ignore it, that could also maybe send the wrong kind of message, right? So to me, I'm a big believer in going right towards it or showing no fear or even standing there and staring it down. Because if you stare down a threat and you look at a threat, no longer is it a threat? That's my opinion. So let's pretend for a second the person that wrote this has a sharp pain in their back or a sharp pain in their stomach. So there's two ways that I could suggest that you could go about this. There's the Stark Reactor concept, which I've talked about ad nauseum, and yet people still want me to talk more about it. But basically, it is giving yourself, let's say, 3 to 5 minutes to begin with. I think doing 10 to 15 is even more helpful, but let's start with 3 to 5 because it's hard to keep your attention. And you close your eyes and you just sort of imagine this spot right about where your sternum is. You're closing your eyes, not thinking about anything. What you're trying to do is just feel whatever is there, tightness, tension, something. A lot of times this is where people hold their negative emotions. So this might start to be where you start getting almost like imagery could be happening or could be a variety of things. But just being able to hold your attention in that one spot. So that's one way of doing it. The other method is what Alan Gordon, who's an LCSW in Southern California, talks about at the Pain Psychology Center, which is this concept called somatic tracking, which I think really has its place as well. So let's say that that pain is in the middle of your back and you sit there and you close your eyes and you're just staring at that spot. You're feeling that spot in your mid-back with your brain. You're not trying to change it. You're not shifting positions. You're not wanting it to go away. All you're doing is just recognizing that it's there. You're just staring at it and that's it. And over time, this is showing your nervous system that this is not a threat. If I can sit here and think about this thing, if I can sit here and feel this thing that's so damn painful, if I can sit here and stare at this thing, so to speak, there's not a threat. Ooh, nervous system calms down. So that's a couple of ways that I would think of addressing that that could be more helpful. I'm going to open my sunroof. It's getting a little warm out here. That could be more helpful than trying to ignore it. So could be very helpful to you. The next person had said, what are your thoughts or methods for keeping a new injury from turning into a raging TMS episode? So I did an episode recently called Sometimes a Cigar is Just a Cigar. Because the week prior to that, I had had, I don't know if I want to call it a relapse, but I was having asthma issues again. I was having allergy issues again. I was having back pain again. And just like freaking out. And it started at the gym. I was at the gym. I did a more than normal strenuous type of a workout. My back tweaked and was super sore the next day. And then I start to freak and panic and think that this is TMS. And so I start journaling again and doing all kinds of stuff, doing all the stuff we're supposed to do as TMSers that have chronic pain and mindfulness and focusing on it. So I'm really giving it a lot of attention. And then my asthma and allergies start to kick up. And so I'm like, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And then, you know, so this cycle just continues of me doing something wrong. And that's why I'm having pain again or problems again or symptoms again or whatever it is that you want to call it. So then I just sort of reframed my thinking and thought, okay, what could have happened here? I was in the gym. I did a more than strenuous workout. Maybe I went a little too far. And we all know that, or we don't all know, because some of you are listening to this because you don't know, but the little secret is that all injuries heal. Dr. Schumacher said all injuries heal. There's no such thing as a chronic injury. So all injuries heal, and scars don't hurt. I thought that was a great little thing that he threw in there as well. But all injuries heal, and so it is entirely possible to tweak your back or tweak something in the gym or doing an activity or whatever, but within a few days, a couple of days, you should start to feel incremental improvement day by day. And over a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that should be pretty well gone. So the main thing that you need to know in order for it to not turn into some crazy TMS fest is to not have that catastrophizing and that fear moving forward and just recognizing that it is what it is. I was talking to a couple of my neighbors a couple of nights ago about some wildly hot political topics. But the one that I had brought up was the concept of Buddha, which is that essentially there's going to, or an element of Buddha, there's going to be some level of human suffering at some point. And if we just know that it's coming and we're okay with it, it's going to pass very quickly. Whether this is anxiety, Paul David talks a lot about this in his great book, At Last a Life. I'd highly recommend that if you haven't read it. It has wonderful TMS applications, but you could replace the word anxiety with back pain or knee pain or anything. It's self-published, so you can find it on Amazon, At Last a Life by Paul David. But he just talks about really it's going to happen. So if we just let it happen and we just accept that it's going to happen and it is what it is, those feelings pass very, very quickly. The same thing goes with pain. It goes very, very quickly. So once I chilled the fuck out and just recognized that, yes, I did way too many deadlifts, and yes, I did a complex way too fast with a barbell, and there was a little bit of a tweak there, and so what? It's going to get better. I'm happy to report that I'm at 100% now, and I'm crushing workouts again, and there is no problem, right? So that was over the course of a couple of weeks, and that thing gradually was getting better and better and better. And I think even this might have been like a year and a half ago. I remember I had a tweak in my knee squatting, and it had this horrible tendonitis-ish pinchy feeling to it. And I knew that feeling all too well because I used to get it like every, I don't know, 2 to 3 months before I found about Dr. Sarno's work. And it would last 2 weeks, and I would go and get anti-inflammatories, prescription, and then I would go see a doctor, and then I would take the pills, and then I would chill out, and then eventually get better. So when that happened about a year and a half ago, that pinchy feeling and that real hurt, I just sort of said, okay, it is what it is, and I think this is probably just TMS, and that's all that it is. And I went to bed, and I woke up the next day, and it was fine. So it really just has a lot to do with your level of fear and your level of resistance around it. So if you can force yourself or allow yourself to just chill and let it be, you're probably going to have a lot of success. So there's that. I really hate that I only posted this thing an hour ago because it really didn't give people a lot of time to be able to post it. Maybe the last thing that I want to talk about is this concept of being limiting yourself or limiting your life based on a particular fear. So my mother-in-law was involved in a pretty serious car accident about a week and a half ago, a little over a week and a half ago. This was her second major car accident in her life. First one, horrific. My wife was in it when she was a little kid. My wife's dad passed away. My mother-in-law lost pretty much all use of her right arm and subsequently had it amputated in 2015 due to complications from the crush injury that happened in the accident. And then she had an accident early last week, rolled the car 1.5 times, whatever. And I've had this conversation with a family member since then and her because the consensus is I would just never drive again. Meaning the family member of mine said, I would just never drive again if that ever happened. Cars are so inherently dangerous. People don't recognize the risks of cars. We shouldn't be driving, all that kind of stuff. You know, I hate to say there's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy with stuff like that, but if you enter any situation, this is why in the motorcycle community, if somebody's starting to ride a motorcycle, which I've been involved in this community for 10 years, if somebody is starting to ride a motorcycle or do anything and they're nervous, and they're freaked out at even at a minor level as they get on, they should not get on. They need to get over that. So get on and go face the fear and do the thing and have that be it. But it can't be a crippling fear that's happening all the time, because that is always happening in the back of your mind. And when you're nervous, you speed up. And when you speed up, you make mistakes. And unfortunately, in vehicles, speeding up and making mistakes, and you could be at a real risk of a heavily traumatic injury. But I think the main thing is just recognizing, am I doing something that's inherently likely dangerous? It's one thing to jump into the ocean covered in blood and swim with a great white shark, right? You may be asking for something. That's almost a guarantee something's going to happen to you. Or are you driving down the road and going somewhere? Are you getting on a motorcycle because you want to try a fun hobby for the first time? Are you going downhill mountain bike riding? Are you lifting weights in the gym? Like, there's a variety of things that you can do. There's very few things that 99.9% of people do that are inherently truly dangerous. So if you're living a life out of fear, it's simply something that you're always, there's going to be a level of phobia there. Every time that you approach that situation, your sympathetic nervous system has now been activated, and it's almost waiting for the slightest little trigger to set you off. I was talking to some people this morning about allergies and asthma, and somebody had said there's no way that allergies could be TMS or could be related to this stuff. And I just very simply said that when the sympathetic nervous system is amped up, you're triggered much faster by everything around you, any sort of an environmental stimulus. So let's say that I'm amped up over something. My sympathetic nervous system is in overdrive, and there's some pollen in the air, and I get out of the car and I start breathing it. I may start sneezing uncontrollably. Whereas if I were not all that amped up and I was in that rest and digest state, maybe nothing happens, or maybe it's a minor sneeze or a tickle in my nostril for a second, but that's really going to be about it. So the anticipation is also part of it. So if you anticipate that everything around you will be bad and something will go wrong, at some point that's probably going to happen. If you're petrified of cars, something probably is going to happen. This goes back to the whole, and I want to do a whole episode on this. I just need to storyboard it and make an outline and do all that kind of stuff. But the concept of social contagion, the whole idea of people getting ulcers in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and partially in the 90s, was because you sort of expected to get it. The same thing happens with the epidemic of RSI, repetitive strain injury, or repetitive stress injury. If your expectation of working at a computer is that you're going to get this thing, then you're probably going to get that thing. Same thing goes with carpal tunnels. So popular 10 or 15 years ago. So many people had it. And I've talked a lot on this show about, in CrossFit, so many people had a gluten allergy as recently as 5 years ago. Gluten intolerant. They have celiac disease. They can't stomach it. They get super sick. And then the fad goes away because people start eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for Instagram. And suddenly nobody has celiac disease in the CrossFit community anymore. Not nobody, but most people that said that they had it don't have it anymore. So it's really interesting how this concept of social contagion works. Same thing as with this overwhelming belief that everybody's going to get a backache, that backs are, they're very, very fragile. Go and look at just Google the muscles of the back in a human and look at how much musculature is there and what are the actual odds of you being able to hurt it. If you walk into a grocery store and you pick up a boneless ribeye steak, pick it up, buy it, take it out of the package and try and rip it. Use all of your strength. Maybe even put it down on the ground and push a stick into it and use a jackhammer and hit a pick into it and all this stuff. It is so hard to do anything negative to a muscle. It is so hard to cause an injury. Think about how hard bones are and how hard it would be to break a bone. it is so hard to do all this stuff. So living a life of fear is not, I'm not about that life. And if you're listening to this and you've been struggling with chronic pain in one way or another for any amount of time, you have a fear of something. What is that fear? That fear could be a variety of things. At its nucleus, Dr. Sarno says that it's a fear of feeling unfeelable emotions or unrelenting emotions or emotions that are just too scary for us to comprehend. That could be one thing. But it could also just be that you're as Dr. Schubiner kept saying, your danger alarm is on. It's like expecting that something bad is going to happen. And so being able to recognize and step back and say, I'm okay. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. I don't have a risk here. Is a huge part, a massive part of actually getting well. As promised, this is a shorter episode. I'm at 20 minutes right now. Next week, we've got a tremendously long episode. I think it's an hour and 30 minutes, hour and 40 minutes with Brad Gutting, who's making his second appearance on the podcast. But thanks, everybody, for all of your support and all the love on the podcast. I'm getting a lot of DMs about suggestions for shows that people want. And here, go after this person, try and get an interview. Here's what I would love. If you make a recommendation to get an interview, if you have a connection to be able to get to this person and get the interview, get an introduction to happen, that would be awesome. Even making some overtures on you know, I'll do the work of the interview and getting it scheduled and edited and out there, but I would love some help in actually getting people to me. A great example is that psychotherapist who emailed me. She said a patient of hers is a massive fan of the podcast, so she wanted to reach out to me and get something scheduled. That is perfect, because it is not easy to get all this stuff scheduled. It takes a lot of time, energy, cash, all that kind of stuff. So thanks again. Go to yabla.com, Y-A-B-L-A.com, and I thank everybody for your time. Take care.